Want to welcome you to Eagle Heights Podcast, broadcasting live from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Sitting here with Grant Prentice, engaging the caffeinated Monday morning. How are you doing today, Brent Prentice?
Just had a taste of vanilla. Well.
Just that taste of vanilla. Well. Yeah, there you go.
A little Aspen vanilla.
Now, Brent, you are rocking the blue spruce tea. Now, we have listeners all over the globe. For what reason, I don't know. Like, there's one guy in Tanzania who accidentally clicked on our link once, which justifiably lets me say we have listeners all over the globe. Not everyone gets to experience and to enjoy blue spruce like we do here in Stillwater.
Or Aspen.
You're rocking the blue spruce tea. You're drinking out of an Aspen cup. Now,
fair and balanced.
I'm not going to say these two are rivals, but these two are locally owned, similar in proximity.
Blue Spruce isn't open at 8 a.m.
That's true.
So there you go.
Disparagingly so. Wonderful coffee.
Yeah. I don't know. I've not drank a cup of coffee there in a while.
Really? It's good. It's good. I'm drinking Starbucks, so we are very well represented.
better go to Panera and Hastings.
Yeah, we're a caffeine equal opportunity.
Hey, Ryan, I got a question for you.
Yes, I love it. I own it.
So you are preparing to go on vacation. When do you leave?
Yeah.
Thursday, what time?
We're leaving Thursday.
You going to set your alarm so nobody tries to break in?
Yeah.
Take your large table that I tried to buy for $2,501.
Yeah. I've put two
Wait.
Okay. Yes, we're leaving. I'm not going to tell when we're leaving. I'm not going on vacation. I'm sitting at home with my 12-gauge shotgun.
Hey, just let everybody know. Let everybody know out there in the listener world that I live right down from your house and
constantly peer through my windows.
I'll turn a blind eye.
I thought you were going to stand up. I thought you were going to be like, I will watch your homestead like a hawk.
Well, I will.
With one eye?
Yeah.
That's blind?
Yes.
First eye blind.
Did I say that right? Turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Hey, so just the question I wanted to ask was this. How's your beach body? Now, I want to remind everyone who listens at this point, we take Jesus very seriously.
Yes, we do.
And in a moment, we'll have a serious discussion, but this is what we normally do. So if you've made it this far, hang with us for just like 3 more minutes.
How is my beach body?
Well, and the reason I ask is not because I want to see it, but I know that that's something that you actually think about as someone who Doug Wilson might call a metrosexual.
Doug Wilson has no idea what a metrosexual is. He has no idea.
Well, I'm just saying, I know that you've taken personal affront and offense and to Doug Wilson because of this.
No.
Doug Wilson's a burly man. He's like Grizzly Adams.
I don't take offense to it. I just think in the context that he uses the word metrosexual, it doesn't actually apply.
He apparently uses a couple of names that people don't appreciate.
Yeah.
But anyway, so are you feeling good about going to the beach?
I could feel better.
Do you need to tan?
I need to tan. I need to tan some. And, you know, now that we've got
I want everybody to know I don't tan. And I don't think about my beach body.
Okay. I'm just trying to
separate me from you right now. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get some separation.
You want a trophy?
Got to keep them separated.
You want a medal?
Is that a 90s song?
Are you trying to compensate for something in some way?
Probably. Is that a 90s song? Got to keep them separated?
Keep them separated. The Offspring. It's a great song.
Is it a 90s song?
Yes. Now, I do have to... Brent, I make fun of you. I don't make fun of you.
You do too. That's fine. Well, you know what? I've been convicted about how much I make fun of you.
Obviously. Now, we take jovial jabs over your knowledge or lack thereof of modern contemporary music. And I'm not going to say this repudiates that... But I am going to give you a bit of a Ryan Smith thumbs up. You earned some street cred this past Sunday that I didn't know that you had. And why it doesn't refudiate, is it refudiate or repudiate? I'm kind of going repudiate and saying hoping
refudiate.
No one will notice.
I don't know. Just say refudiate.
Repudiate. I don't know.
Just say it like this, repudiate.
That's kind of what I was doing.
That way, you know, if people question you, say, "Did you say refudiate?" I said, what? Yeah, the right one.
Why would I say the wrong? Yeah.
I think it's repudiate.
What would be the genesis of repudiate? Refudiate. I can see
it's
that, you
not
know,
refudiate.
Refute.
Refute is a word, but I'm confident it's not refudiate. It's repudiate.
But repute isn't a word. I mean, you can get into like reputation, but to refudiate,
well, but
not to refudiate.
To refute a person's reputation. Repudiate.
That would be refudiate.
Folks, if you know,
send us a tweet at Eagle Heights. All right. Not to repudiate that, but
repudiate.
All the ways. Because we talk a lot about your knowledge of Lecrae. It's basically the only modern music that you know.
It is.
You dropped a Lecrae line. Yeah. In you can hear it on the podcast. You said something, and Denny and I looked at each other like, "What on earth was that?" You said Jesus might as well be a South American president. And I was like, "What on earth does that have to do with anything?" And I think Denny actually texted you, but we had a listener that texted in a nice Lecrae reference with the South American president line. You should cite that in the podcast. So I'm,
is that Seth?
Yes.
Yeah,
so I'm giving you kudos. Mm. What is that from? Educate us.
It's from number 7 on Rebel, and it's called Truth.
Can you give us the context for the line?
Well, he's talking about in hip hop, rap, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, what is it. Tell me. You're the
it's probably hip hop.
You're the police on this, right?
I'm
you hold the standard. You hold the line. Hold the line for us. What is it? Is it hip hop or rap?
We'll say hip hop.
Is hip hop rap?
The lines blur.
Okay. So he's talking about kind of this, you know, what's true for you might be true for you, but it's not true for me. And he's addressing some of the postmodern thought processes. Mm. And he's talking about people who just dismiss Jesus and say to them, he might as well be a South American president. Because
he has a degree of power, but no one cares, knows who they are.
Right. Yeah, something like that. It just doesn't really matter. Mm. They recognize that he's a person, a historical person, but has no bearing on their lives. Mm. Just as a South American president likely wouldn't on ours.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, I question whether I use that in a good context or not. It just popped into my mind. I think I'm just going to start preaching Lecrae songs.
Let me start giving you like a backbeat.
Yeah.
Well, right from the back.
That rhythm is a problem of mine, so we better just leave the beats out of it.
Well, that's what they do with like John Piper and Chandler's sermons now. You can just talk, and we can provide like a slow groove behind you.
Yeah.
Slow jam the sermon.
So I want to bring this out to cleanse my soul. But I tell you, my brain completely locked up in the first service.
Yeah, it was
I'm serious. I was thinking about this. Now, we've documented my the whole
when you
dump
cussed.
Of low. The whole dump of low.
And when you cussed.
When I said, when I cussed accidentally.
That's hilarious.
So I've had my moments, and you know, anybody that talks enough is going to have their moment.
Right.
But I tell you, yesterday in the first service, I had
repudiated.
So let's use that as an example. It's one thing to do that, you know, to mispronounce a word or to say something, but I had a complete brain freeze yesterday.
And not just turtles; you hit walls.
And I couldn't recover.
My favorite was when you put your hands together and you're like, can't rip, rap, rip, rap.
See, I don't even, was that all a part of one sequence? Because I don't even remember that.
You were talking about how, you know, when Jesus said in John 10, you know, no one can take them from my hands. And, you know, you did your hand like that. He says, no one can rip, rap, rip, rip. Then you fell over and sobbed for about 5 minutes.
Goodness. Yeah, it was rough. It was a rough first service.
Yeah. The second service is on the podcast, mainly because you screamed at a strange moment. We actually had someone text in, I thought Brent would yell 2 Samuel 12:7 Driscoll style, since there's the exclamation point. Guess he's feeling soft today.
Does Driscoll do that?
Well, because, you know, Samo comes in and goes, "You are the man," you know. Yeah. He was all, like, jazzed up for you to, like, scream that. And he was like, "You are the man." That's like how he did it. And then earlier you were like...
Yeah, I yelled something else. What did I yell?
I don't even remember. It caught me off guard. It kind of scared me a little bit.
Hmm.
Oh, by
may
no
it
means.
Never be.
Yeah.
May it never be. Yeah.
Well, what were you doing? Were you trying to wake someone up or just...
No, I can imagine that was an emphatic statement that Paul would, you know... I don't know. You try to think about how Paul would... What's he doing? I think he would yell at us.
Yeah. Do you think Paul was the Driscoll of his day? Do you think
I don't know, because we have evidence in Paul's own letters that people said he was unimpressive in his speech.
Yeah.
Unimpressive in person, unimpressive in speech.
Yeah.
Which is hard to imagine.
Yeah.
Because, which, you know, kind of takes us to what we're doing right now in Elements. I think Paul's biggest asset was his relational ability. Clearly, now, you could also maybe even say that was his biggest problem because he had a lot of relational breakdowns. But I think, you know, he must have done something right relationally because, you know, he talks about living life with people and sharing life, so... I don't know that his speech was his greatest. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's being falsely modest, though. Would we say that? Because it's inspired by the Spirit that it would capture Paul's humanness and saying, "I'm not a great speaker," when the reality is he's a great speaker. You ever heard a guy say that? You know, false modesty.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe because people talk about
or a
his...
woman, by the way. Sorry. Got to be equal. Equality.
Or a child or an animal.
No. No childs or animals. No children.
His address to the Areopagus in Acts 17, people have said that he didn't go far enough with them, thought that maybe he kind of backed it. I mean, you can read it both ways. Either he really goes gung-ho or doesn't. Maybe it was a matter of one-on-one in speech. He wasn't all that impressive, but when he got to writing, in letter, he was very forceful. You know, you foolish Galatians, you may never be, you know, I don't know.
Well, I tend to think, I don't know. You know, there's something about personality in speaking and maybe some people, their personality comes more out in writing. I don't know. Anyway, here's a question.
Yes.
So yesterday, 2:1-16, Paul goes after his Jewish brethren and accuses them of being hypocrites and religiously lost. They're religious, but they're lost. They do the very things they condemn. So 6-11 talks a lot about deeds, and that they'll be judged according to their deeds, and talks about those who do good things versus bad things, unrighteous, they obey unrighteousness versus righteous obedience. So do you think, what would you say to someone who might say, and I'm trying to anticipate arguments from other camps, that's not talking about whether you're saved or not. That's not even in play in the context. That's talking about reward. As you reach for the manual.
Reframe the question a little bit.
Reframe it?
Yeah, for our listeners.
In other words, buy time. Is that what you're... How would you respond to someone who, let's say we have a free grace friend who says you can't lay on a saved person the expectation that obedience will accompany salvation as proof of justification, salvation. And by the way, when I say salvation, I'm talking about the whole show, the whole package, everything that happens in the realm of salvation.
Justification, sanctification,
the whole adoption, the whole bit. What would you say to someone? Because my argument was Paul is not just giving a hypothetical situation. He's actually arguing in the text that your obedience says something about your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might say, no, that's not what he's saying. He's just talking about what you will be rendered on the day of judgment.
Yeah, I don't think you can divorce verse 6 from verse 7 and 8.
Okay, that's a good argument.
Because, A, it's one long sentence.
Yeah.
You know, he says, if you're reading the full sentence, it says, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life.
There's eternal life.
To which so, you could apply the justification. Salvation, yeah, right. that's salvation. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury.
Yeah.
You know, then the next sentence, there will be tribulation, distress for every human being who does evil, Jew first and also to the Greek. And Paul goes on to explain that a bit more. So I don't think you can say you can be saved and still not obey the truth and obey unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because right here he says, you know, as a result of that is wrath and fury. Mm-hmm. And you cannot be unregenerate right. or unsaved and by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality through the gospel.
Yeah.
So I think what you argue for in evidence of salvation being a legitimate thing to work mm-hmm. to work for and to look for, I think Paul puts it plainly there. I don't think you can just say, we'll be rendered to the works. Oh, it's a works-based righteousness mm-hmm. without reading the rest of the sentence. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Well, and that's, I mean, it almost looks as if you don't understand thought flow and in mm-hmm. context, it almost looks as if he's saying you do things to earn justification.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's not what he's saying in the grand argument of the book. First of all, the big argument of the book runs counter to that all mm-hmm. through the book, that salvation is by justification through faith, by which you receive the Spirit. But also, you know, you got to understand who he's talking to. He's talking to people who are claiming the advantages of God, the Word of God, the being his people, but they're living like the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying that doesn't line up. That doesn't line up. You also have to remember he is speaking about Jewish people, but he's speaking to a Christian church who might have some Jews in there, and they're claiming as Jewish people, ethnic or converted, the advantages of God, but you know, they're living like pagans. So the other thing is, you know, are Christians under wrath? You know, could you be a Christian and you know, Christians aren't under wrath. We've been spared wrath through justification by faith. So, now again, he's speaking to Jews, but it just doesn't seem like to me that, it seems like to me that the point of the text is that our deeds are married to our justification, not to earn our justification, but they're an outflow of our justification.
Yeah, well, I think were you to go to Paul or to any of the churches that he wrote to, and particularly the church that he's writing to here in the book of Romans, and say, and you ask Paul, hey, Paul, how do you know someone who's saved,
mm-hmm.
who has the Spirit in them? I don't think you would say, well, they prayed a prayer at, you know, Falls Creek, Palestine, you know, or something like that.
Pentecost.
Yes. I think what he would say is, you, as he says elsewhere, you know them by their, you know the root by the fruit, so to speak. And I don't think he would really argue for, well, you know, they may live completely contrary to Scripture. You know, particularly in that time, it would have been much less easy. As you pointed out this past Sunday, we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt. You go outside, a lot of people are going to say, oh, yeah, well, I'm a Christian, who have no semblance of the Holy Spirit in their mm-hmm. life. They just mean that as in, I'm American and I'm not Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what they mean. And so I think Paul would recognize it a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, just anticipating someone who might be listening and saying, you're teaching works salvation. Well, then Paul's teaching works salvation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how you divorce, you know, these deeds from somebody who's really a child of God.
Yeah. And as you pointed out many times, we don't apply this in anywhere else in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a married, devoted man,
mm-hmm.
but I, you know, don't know anything about my wife. I left her at the altar and, you know, going having sex with who knows what.
Yeah, we live in different places. And
yeah.
What's your name?
Yeah, I like how you said that. You know, just to help you all out, this is Eagle Heights. There's Brent Prentice.
I kid you not. That's, and I've heard that other times. You know, I'm a good Presbyterian. I'm a good, well, okay, whatever you think.
Yeah, but you what's don't know the name of your church?
Well, that's a true story. She did not know the name of her church when I asked her.
Yeah, which, by the way, you threw me under the bus.
I did.
On Sunday.
I did, thank you.
You hurt my manly, muscle-clad feelings.
How's that?
I don't know. I didn't hear all of it because I was backstage and I was talking to someone.
Well,
else
let's end with this then.
You said it was my fault that we're going through Romans.
No, I said it was your fault that we were going through Romans.
Hey, I'll accept that. Climb on a back that's strong.
We can end here. So, you know, I had a gentle man come up to me, and he was not complaining, but he was just saying, man, Brent, you know, we've been going through Romans 1 for a long time, and if we go through Romans 7 and that takes like a year, that's a lot of bad I mean, it's, you know, he's just saying it's going to be rough. Mm-hmm. So I was responding to his comment, you know, and acknowledging it. I tried to tell the guy, I said, look, I feel it, you know, and I'm wrestling with it inwardly. To be honest, I want to say to him, whatever you think you're feeling, trust me. Mine is exponentially greater, you know. Yeah. So, but I am conscious of that, you know, how do we take the book and be faithful to it and try to answer the questions people might have without, you know, beating them up. Mm-hmm. One thought I thought was, you know, it. So when we're done with Romans, the people who really want to be here will be here.
That's a great way to put it.
But in all seriousness, you know, I don't want to just pound on people. I do want to give hope, and I think I could do a better job of that, you know, trying to figure out how that, and, you know, obviously the point is this is getting us to the good news of the gospel, mm-hmm. approaching the bad news first. But I think to some degree, I think I would just acknowledge that I'm pretty thin-skinned, and I think probably a lot of us are, that we don't know how to handle the difficulties of the reality that exist in a biblical worldview with the good, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think I need to be better at helping people see both, but making sure that they see that there is hope, there's good news.
Yeah, because while we are exegeting the scripture and we are going verse by verse and, you know, letting the Bible dictate what we talk about, they would not have done this in the original hearing, mm-hmm. you know. At the same time, we don't want to just get up and read through it like a letter and be like, all right, there you go, because that's not how it was given to us.
Yeah.
So there is kind of a balance there, and there will be some reprieve. In Romans 3 and 4, we get some good things. But for people who are planning on sticking it through to the end of, you know, 2023 when we're done with this, keep in mind the context of it. Keep in mind that, you know, we're going through it in a different way, but pointing to it. And it is a letter in context. It's the bad news about the good news. Mm-hmm. And we'll spend just as much time in the good news as we spend in mm-hmm. the bad news, because that's what God gives us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to say something about Joel Osteen before we sign off?
No. I do think we need to call a spade a spade.
He is a spade.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that good or bad? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. If that's not a statement about judgment, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. But I better make sure that I'm looking at my own life before I condemn him.
That's true. That's one thing that I posted this morning, and something that in our core group time that we talked about, something that the Spirit is impressing on me. I like to listen to these unbelievable podcasts, you know, where they pit a Christian against mm-hmm. an atheist, and they go, and I try to listen to that from a objective viewpoint. But when I read things on Yahoo about, you know, the Kardashians, or, you know, about even reading something about Richard Dawkins, something they say, part of me says, you know, like, man, they're just gross. This is just a sinful world.
Yeah,
those people just deserve. But when I recognize my own sin, I come forward, I'm like, God, I'm a sinner. I have no hope. But through
I'm
you,
weak.
Know,
I'm weak.
Yeah, but we talked about, you know, not judging, and we should judge. But kind of what I took from it was, we need to judge by the same standard mm-hmm. that we use. And if I write a blog about homosexuality or whatnot, I need to come alongside that and say, you know, by the thought life that I have, I'm no better off. You know, because by the same standard mm-hmm. Of the scripture, we're both in the line to be mm-hmm. to be judged on that. And so, rather that, I think it's easy for me to judge other sins that I'm not involved in, but to understand by the same God that said don't do that. He says don't do a lot of things that I do. So, yeah.
Excellent way to end.
Yeah.
Judge yourself.
Judge yourself.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Kind of like breaking up is hard to do.
A little bit different, but yes.
Is that a 90s song?
No. So as always, we want to thank you for tuning into the Eagle Heights podcast. I believe we've mentioned this before, that as you're getting ready to go on your summer vacations, I have a reading list that of books that I'm not way long that I'm not going to get to on vacation. But as you may be looking at books to take your summer vacation, know many university students went home. We've been reading through Rhythms of Grace by Mike Cosper. As a staff, gave it to the worship team. It's an excellent book. I urge you to check that out. I also just picked up Doxology and Theology, How the Gospel Forms the Worship Leader, for those of you interested in worship, where it comes from. I haven't read it yet, but it's by mainly by Matt Boswell. There are some other chapters written by Michael Bleeker, Matt Papa, some people that are influential on me as well. So that's a book I'd urge you to pick up. Brent, are there any that you would urge people to pick up for summer reading?
No.
Any of those with like women with bonnets and guys that work the fields?
The Bible.
There you go.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
I thought about coming out and singing that with no music at the end.
But it's all about you.
Yeah. There you go.
Good word.
All right. Well, as always, thanks for tuning in to the Eagle Heights podcast. You can check us out on eagleheights.com, also on facebook.com/eagleheights. As always, you can communicate with us on Twitter at Eagle Heights. Just posted a picture of Brent in his trendy blue spruce t-shirt, so you can check that out there. We will not have a podcast next week, as I will be at my house with my shotgun, but we look forward to returning to the Eagle Heights podcast the week after that.